Today on the Inland Journal podcast, my colleague Steve Jackson has the second in a group of interviews with Spokane mayoral candidates. On Wednesday's podcast, he talked with Jonathan Bingle. Friday, he'll talk with Ben Stuckert. Today, he sits down with Kelly Cruz.
Why don't we start with kind of, you know, how do you think your background prepares you for elected office, and maybe just why you'd be a good leader for the city, just
sure.
basic
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Spokane, and have been involved voluntarily in different aspects in the community. I'm a former four-time chair of my neighborhood council in West Central. I am also a former four-time chair of Prevention Coalition in the West Central neighborhood area. It's the West Side Spokane Wellness Partnership. We focus on prevention of alcohol and substance abuse by youth in our community. I'm also currently chair of Spokane Cops Board and been involved in public safety issues over the last 3 years. I also volunteer at a cop shop, so that gives me kind of firsthand knowledge. One of the things that I just received last fall was my second award from the City of Spokane. It's a citizenship award for outstanding volunteer leadership in the community. So I bring those leadership skills that I've used and formulated in my volunteer activities to City Hall to kind of hopefully mesh all sides together and lead us to a path that we can all be proud of the city and grow in a way that we don't fear, you know, one person or the other, or that crime is not in the back of our minds or forefront of our minds, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So those types of things I would bring to the mayor's office.
You're kind of going from those experiences to jumping into a pretty big race as mayor. Why did you choose that as, say,
well,
the start
of
the
council
position? Well,
last fall, like November, when I decided for sure I was going to run and I announced in December, at that time there was just three people. And then all of a sudden everybody jumped on the bandwagon. And I decided to stick with it because I feel very positive about promoting the issues that I feel are needed to be addressed in the community. I see these firsthand in the volunteer organizations I belong to, in my dealings with the public at the cop shop, and also as chair of Spokane Cops Board, things that aren't getting addressed at City Hall, either through the council or particularly the mayor's office, that frustration in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bring, you know, outside of Council President Stuckert, I'm the only other person running in this race that has extensive institutional knowledge of City Hall and how it works, its departments. I've done that. I've worked with city officials, city departments, and even state officials. In 2017, I had to bring all these people to the table because of a concern in my neighborhood about too many sex offenders, particularly in a two-block area of our neighborhood. So I worked with state legislators in the 3rd District, city officials, to kind of clean up the process and make them hold their feet to the fire. They were just not following state law and ignoring where all the dots were. Mm-hmm. And there's a process under the RCW where they're supposed to create a map and identify density of sex offenders in a particular part of the community. And so I called them on that, and I worked with the city. Some things were changed at the city level. I think we can go a little bit further. It's sad in this community when it's easier to be a vendor with the state DOC and house parolees and sex offenders particularly than it is to open an Airbnb or a bed and breakfast. You know, there's no real requirement on one side, and on the other side, there's a licensing process. Your house is inspected. So I just say they're basically the same type. You're renting your premises out day by day for a month at a time to an individual. What's the difference? You're making okay. money on both sides. So I think they should both be equally treated equally.
What would you say the priority issue is?
Priority is the police department and their data shows that crime is down, but if you talk to people, it's down because people are not reporting it. They've just gotten so disgusted that they don't even bother. There's a lot of folks out there. And I give you a real quick example. I work out of the cop shop at Cops West on West Boone.
Mm-hmm.
There was a house directly across the street that a gentleman was working on last fall. And he came into the shop on a Monday morning because somebody kicked in the door, stole their tools and some of their building materials. And he knew we had video cameras. So I looked at our video cameras. And I said, I apologize, but we just don't reach across the street, you know, and we didn't see anything on our side of the street. I said, well, you're here. Let's make a police report. He says, what's the point? And he just walked out the door. That type of thing you hear every day when I've knocked on doors. So the perception in the community is that property crime's not down. It's not abated. And I've told the police chief this and other folks, perception is reality. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are not reporting and just keeping their mouths shut and just ignoring it, you know, and hoping for the best, that's not the best outcome for our community. We've kind of lost our sense of safety in this community. People go to work in the daytime. They see people circling the block on the bikes. You see them all over town, going up and down the alleys, around the front, and they know that there's a fairly good chance they're eyeing somebody's property for a break-in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to get that sense of security back in the community.
What would your answer be then? Maybe hiring more police or?
Well, more police is part of it, but also working together with COPS program, which they already are,
mm-hmm.
and they identify hotspot areas, but also finding a way to get the public to report, because one of the ways that the police department uses ComStat numbers, and it's hotspot areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's you put your resources where the most need is. It would be great if we could afford enough officer to be all over the city all the time. But given the fact that we have to deal with the homeless population that takes a certain percentage of our officers' time mm-hmm. downtown and resources, we have to split that. So some of the things that we could promote is better crime prevention strategies in the community. And like we have a block watch program in our COPS program that's not fully taken advantage of by folks there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people address issues on next door, but they don't realize that's not monitored by the police. The assumption there is that, well, the police look at that and they'll come in. They don't have time to look at next door, given all the things they have to deal with in a day. So, you know, working with the police on strategies for better crime prevention in the community and programming, I think would be a long way.
Okay. So what, I guess I could touch on this since it's related. What do you think about the possibility of a new county jail?
Well, it's interesting. I was at the jail meeting about a week or so ago up at the Northeast Community Center, and they had one prior night out at the City of Spokane Valley. A lot of misinformation at those meetings by the folks that are putting those on and sponsoring. The biggest one is that our jails, the misnomer that our jails full of misdemeanor people, and if we find diversion programs to get them out of the jail, we can start locking up a more hardcore folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the fact. You talk to officers, you talk to people in the criminal justice system. When they pick up a person that has a 3 or 4 time felony, which is pretty often, and they go to the jail or they call in, there's not a bed there for them. And that's not because it's full of misdemeanor people. It's full of people with higher felony records, more dangerous people.
Mm-hmm.
So our jail is at a busting point. One of the things I advocated for in that meeting was a concept that the county had, which was a 3-story structure behind the current jail, with contain an intake area where the officers bring these folks in. If it's a mental health issue, there's medical staff there to identify. If it's a medical health issue, there's a bed and a wing there for them. Direct services right now, they don't have to have a, you know, somebody secondary or third party come out or make an appointment for them. They're brought in. They're treated immediately. Same with mental health or drug there. There would be wards for those folks.
But you're saying to build this additional structure, or you're saying this is already an existing facility, you just staff it more?
No, this would be a facility that we build behind the jail.
Okay.
That was part of the county's plan and the jail concept in 2009.
Okay.
Because the intake area now is crowded, and it's at the point, you know, if somebody misbehaves or acts up, there's only one or two outcomes for that, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the restraint and a cell. But this way, it would give us the opportunity to make sure that when an officer or a sheriff's deputy picks somebody up, they don't have to go to the emergency room. There's a lot of, you know, constraints there and angst there amongst emergency personnel in those hospitals. I know a few that work in emergency rooms. They get frustrated when an officer comes in with somebody and it takes 2 or 3 of them or two security guards to maintain that person. They expect that. So I'm saying this, you know, take this to a facility where there's law enforcement there already and there's medical staff and the person's needs can be addressed. If they need to be restrained or medicated or get into, it just makes sense because a lot of people fall through the gaps now, especially the ones where they interact with an officer. There's no criminal thing. They don't need to go to jail, but they do need mental health services. They need to have a way to get to those services. We expect the officer gives them a card, makes an appointment, be there in 3 days. Really? Somebody with a mental health issue is going to be able to find their way? I'm just saying.
So this is like instead of a full-blown jail, this would be a...
This would not be a jail. It would be an intake facility. They're evaluated, you know, and even if they had a charge against them, it could be evaluated, and they may not, because of the evaluation there and the direct service, they may not even have the need to put them in a jail or take them through the criminal justice system.
Okay.
You're listening to an interview between my colleague Steve Jackson and Kelly Cruz, one of five candidates for Spokane mayor.
So let's talk about the homeless situation. What do you think the city's current response is? What should be changed, or what are you thinking about the whole homeless issue?
Well, the city... Good step, and I answered this question on another questionnaire I fill out for an organization was, what do you feel the city has done right and what haven't they done right?
Uh-huh.
We got money from HUD, and we opened the Envision Center, what puts all the services in one building so that people can get there and go to those.
Sure.
But for some people, there's got to be mandated service. In other words, they're not going to take advantage of it. We have to have a system along with that that makes sure they're taking advantage of that. If they're not, you know, then maybe it's a misdemeanor ticket or something or more time at the community court for ordering. But we have to make sure that those folks that we're helping follow up on it. The other thing is we've heard a lot of anecdotal evidence of people being bused in our community from outside the area. Officers will quite frankly say they contact people as far away as Florida, North Carolina, Texas. You know, how did they get here? Well, they gave me a bus ticket and said this is a good place to come. I don't doubt that's happening. You can't put your finger on what percentage of the population it is, but the fact is it does happen in our community. So how do we tell folks coming to our community that at the very least we're going to require of you to better your situation and yourself? We're not going to allow you to stand on the corner and beg. We're not going to allow you to just live off the free handouts. At some point, there's going to be a kick up, and you need to better your situation.
Did you see the homeless count information that indicated almost all the people that are homeless in the count were from Spokane area?
Yeah, well, I would say I'm from Spokane if I was homeless too, because I don't want to get not kicked out of services and stuff.
Okay,
but you know, this is going all over. From the Tri-Cities to Seattle, people are being moved around. And so we just need to be firm that, you know, if you're a homeless person in our community or come to our community, we have programs that will help you and assist you. And we expect you to avail yourself of those services and improve your situation. There are not a majority, but there's quite a few folks out there that just want to come and use the services and hang around. And when it gets too hard for them, they'll move on. But if we put that requirement out there, it's going to say to people that are thinking about coming to Spokane, oh, they require something there. Maybe I should look somewhere else where it's easier to get, you know, something for nothing.
Okay. What about the city budget? Maybe talk about your priorities there as far as spending priorities go.
Well, city budget is growing exponentially under this mayor, and that has to do with a lot of upper-level management folks. And I would look at those positions and see whether there's value to all of them and whether we can cut some of those positions back and put that money back into youth programs in our community. One of the big things I've been talking about is I'd like to see us get back to where we were about 25 years ago, where we hired youth for our summer programs, you know, throughout the city and gave them their first job opportunity and taught them those job skills.
Mm-hmm.
and then also use some of that money for public safety and evaluate that. But I think it goes a long way if we, in those two areas, do that, because since, I believe it was Mayor Verner that eliminated the Chase Youth Commission out of City Hall, that's one of the things I intend to bring back in City Hall and make them advisory to the mayor and the administration on youth issues.
Mm-hmm.
If we expect youth to grow up in our community, respect our rules and regulations, raise a family, stay here, and maybe start a business, we have to start giving them a voice in some of the decision-making that's being made. And I see no problem with having a youth advisory board that talks about the youth issues in the community and gives them a voice on those types of things.
Okay. And you did mention public safety. Does that mean you'd like to see more police and or fire?
To see more police and fire and work on those areas there too. So help people get that sense of security back in the community. I think if we could get an officer to answer or physically show up or talk to a third of the calls that come for property crime and the small things, it would go a long way to soothing some of the angst in our community. But when you can't get an officer to call you back or you can't have them come out to your house, there's a big frustration there, and that's the disconnect. And the reality out there is that they're not coming, they don't care. So we have to get that mindset back in the community. Yes, we do care. We'll come, but we can't come all the time.
Okay. We've seen this Amazon plant going in West Plains, and then there's obviously this, big infrastructure push out there. I'm just, do you have concerns about the West Plains growth and the city approaching problems that might come with that at all?
The city annexed area out there, it's about 8-10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and really never did anything with it. It's just sat. I think there's a good area out there for some housing opportunities, but with Amazon, we're going to experience what every other community has experienced, what's called the Amazon wave or effect. And I'll give you an example. Amazon's going to start their people at $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's currently about $13 an hour minimum wage in the city of Spokane. So based on a 40-hour work week, that means somebody at Amazon will make about $6,500 to $7,500 a year more than somebody working minimum wage in the city of Spokane. So what do you think that's going to do to our small business sector? Well, even people that have been here a long time or people who have good job skills are going to want to consider that as a step up and a betterment in their life. It's also going to put pressure on rentals and housing because those people have more expendable income and they'll be able to take advantage of better housing and more rental opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
We have to sit down with our small businesses and see how we can help them absorb those, whether it's maybe some of the fees that we charge or the cost and utilities, if we can ease those or spread those out. Because at some point, if the major employer in the area, and they're going to be the major employer pretty soon at 2,000, and then during peak season, I understand they could have anywhere from 3,000 to 3,500 people. That's going to be a game changer as far as wages in the city and across the region. I mean, not just the city of Spokane, but so we have to figure out how we can get our businesses up and help them compete with that wage and through that.
Okay. This may be the final one, but I'll let you take it after that if you had another issue you want to bring up. But just your overall view of the current elected leadership. I mean, maybe we're talking about the current makeup of the council or whatever you think that you want to respond to, as well as far as if it's going well and where changes are most needed.
The current council and leadership particularly has battled off and on with the mayor's office over certain issues. And unfortunately, city employees are caught in the middle. And I'm not going to name names, but I know several folks that work at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to bring that working mentality back together between the mayor's office and the council. I do think the council has sort of strayed way to the left and inserted itself as a social justice warrior for the city of Spokane. I don't see the legislature to do that. Issues should be brought forward from outside groups and then discussed and then initiated after a lot of public discussion. But a lot of things have happened at city council without the general populace having a voter say in that. And I don't think that's right, because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, that's not the council's money or the mayor's money. That's yours and I's tax money. And I simply ask folks when I'm out campaigning, do you feel you're getting a good return on your investment? And they ask me, what investment do you know about? I said, well, we all pay taxes. Are you getting adequate police and fire? Are your roads in good shape? Things like that that you feel should be addressed and aren't being addressed. Haven't heard anybody say that. In fact, they'd kill just to have a pothole fixed down their road, or, like I said, an officer show up for a call to their complaint or their issue. So those are the types of things. One other thing I'll add is that as mayor, I will only draw $90,000 of the salary. The remainder I will put to charitable organizations. And then I hope to promote a community discussion about limiting the mayor's salary to $90,000. For me, as a volunteer in the community, it's all about public service and being a public servant. That's part of being an elected official in this country and in this city. You know, you're a public servant and the money is kind of a stipend for you. Unfortunately, we make those raises and wages and stuff to be competitive with the corporate world, the outside world. The outside world and the corporate world is not about public service. Government is. So, you know, I hope to bring that attitude back, that public servant attitude back to City Hall.
Hey, Kelly, I think that may work for us. Anything else you wanted to touch on? We've only got about a minute left or so.
You know, listen to the candidates when they're in forums, and go to their websites and look at the issues. Don't let money determine this race, because two sides are going to throw a lot of money at it. But if they don't have any solutions, or solutions that you feel are adequate for the city, look at some of the rest of us and see if we line up with yours. Just because we don't throw a lot of money into the race doesn't mean we're not a qualified candidate.
Kelly Cruz is one of five candidates for Spokane mayor running in the August primary. On the Friday, June 14th Inland Journal podcast, Steve will talk with another of the candidates, current City Council President Ben Stuckert. You can find the podcast by searching for Inland Journal in Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play, or you can find it on the Inland Journal page of the Spokane Public Radio website. You can send your comments and story ideas to inlandjournal@kpbx.org. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Thank you for listening.